It's a joy to have you here today, and we hope your life will be changed. It's a very special day because we have one of our missionaries from the South Pacific to be preaching for us. Many of you heard him in the previous hour as he talked about the work that he's doing out there, and he's going to be preaching for us. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 says that when Paul got back to Antioch, that they met with the church and rehearsed all that God had done with him. Wouldn't it have been great to hear Paul talk about that and then to hear the changes that had come about in Paul's life as just a result of that? And we're honored today to have Joey Treat and his wife Tammy with us. We love this family, and they've been sending out that report to you, and so you're acquainted with his work. But we're able to hear him preach the Word of God. And so, ushers, if you'll come back and pick up the cards that everybody's filled out at this time, and then Joey, if you will come to the mic and preach to us the Word. It's great to have Joey Treat with us here this day.
Brethren, it is so good to be with you this morning. We think of you a lot, more than you would think we think of you, but we think of you a lot when we are over in Saipan and in Micronesia, and you just have a warm and fond place in our hearts. We have enjoyed our stay here very much. Those of you in the senior high group, you'll hear the presentation again tonight because we're reporting at Rockledge tonight as it happens. So you'll get to hear it again. My wife has heard it about 30 times now. Okay, so you're catching up with her. We have a little something for you, brethren. In Palau, they have their native houses called the Bai, and in the rafters of those Bais, they carve their legends and their stories that they want to pass on to their children. And so wood carving by hand is very important to them in Palau. And here we have a wood carving for you, and you can't see it, but here there's a preacher teaching a group of people in front of a Bai, and then there's the wind and moving a sailboat over to this other remote island where there's another house, another Bai. And brethren, it represents you all sending the gospel overseas to the islands. And that's just a little something for you there. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for being co-workers with us and being part of the work and involved with the work. We have seen David and Tracy last week. They were at Disney World, and we had taken our kids to Disney World. And over the course of the 5 days, we saw them three different times. So that was really something in a place as big and as many parks as Disney World. Last night, we enjoyed the good hospitality of Kip and Mickey, and my son and daughter got to see the horse. Noah thought it was a zebra, but he loved seeing the zebra last night very much, so we enjoyed that good family's hospitality. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Now, brethren, if there's a negative passage in the Bible, this is it. This is it. This is one of those passages that you really don't like to read because it just talks about hell, brethren, and it's not the kind of thing we like to think about all the time, but we have to think about it some, don't we, because we don't want to go there. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In this passage, the Holy Spirit refers to two different groups of people that we don't want to be a part of, brethren. That is, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know God, we want to obey his gospel. Obedience is an important part of our Christian walk, isn't it? It's an important part of our Christian life, and we know that. But brethren, I submit to you this morning that obedience, really, just obedience, is not enough to be pleasing to God. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 6. Ephesians 6, verse 6. And here, God is talking to slaves, and he's telling them how to obey their masters. Ephesians 6, verse 6. Let's start with verse 5. He says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." He tells slaves not only to obey the masters, but to obey them as though they were obeying Christ, to obey them from the heart, out of a joy in serving them, out of a love to serve them, like obeying God. Brethren, God wants us to obey, but He wants us to obey because we want to, right? He wants us to love Him and therefore want to keep His word, and then we know that His word is not burdensome. Okay, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. We know that faith without works is dead. Works are important, yes, but how we do those works, brethren, is important as well. Sometimes someone may ask themselves, they'll say, am I going to heaven? And I don't know, you may have heard someone recite, they'll start to go through a list that the things that they're doing in order to make them feel like, okay, I'm going to heaven. They'll say, well, I go to church, I'm a good person, I give, I do these things. Brethren, the works are important, yes, but how we do the works are equally as important. Having the right heart and the right attitude, amen? Look at Matthew 15, verse 8. Matthew 15, 8. And here you have the Pharisees obeying, but brethren, are they obeying the way that they need to? They're obeying some of the things right. They're doing some things right, but not everything right. And here in Matthew 15, verse 8, we read, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." God wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to obey. He wants us to follow His word. But brethren, He wants our heart as well, doesn't He? He wants us to do it because we want to, like in our giving. To give from the heart, to give as we desire to give. And so having that right attitude and the right outlook is very important. Brethren, we can learn from these people in Matthew 15. We can learn how not to do it by looking at them. Growing up, I used to always a little bit be glad when my friends made a mistake and I could see how it turned out for them. Because then I would tell myself, okay, don't do that. Don't do that. I could learn from their mistake. Brethren, you and I can learn from the mistakes of people in the Bible so that we can live our lives better for the Lord. Number one this morning, the Christian life requires an exemplary attitude. Did you know that? The Christian life requires an exemplary attitude. Brethren, we've got to have a good attitude, a good outlook, positive thinking. We've got to be a good people in order to be the kind of people God calls Christians in the Bible. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. And here, brethren, we read, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Brethren, that's a tall order, if you will. That is a challenge indeed. Are there any of us who are holy all the time? No. We all slip and fall, but you see, there is that continual challenge that is set before us to be more like God, to be more like Christ, to continue to strive to be holy. Brethren, being a Christian is not the easiest thing in the world. Being a Christian has a continual set of challenges laid up in front of it. If you're a person who likes to be challenged, then you're at the right place. Being a Christian is continually challenging. In John 13, 35, let's turn to John 13, 35. And here we learn of the description of one who is being a Christian. John 13, 35. John 13, 35, brethren. And here Jesus says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Love for one another. Brethren, our relationships with one another declare to people on the outside who we are. How we treat one another in the church declare to them whether or not we are Christians. "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Brethren, our love defines us. Did you know that? Our relationships together tell the world who we are. Brethren, that's challenging. That means that each and every brother and sister of mine, I've got to hold in high regard. I've got to keep my love for them up. I've got to keep my thoughts of them up so that our love toward each other will show and set the right example for those outside. Brethren, it's challenging. It's hard. The Christian life requires an exemplary attitude. God be thanked. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It all fits right together, doesn't it? Christian life not only requires an exemplary attitude, but brethren, it also requires doing the work of God. Paul makes a very strong statement in 1 Corinthians 11. Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. And it's a statement that I dare say many might not be comfortable to say. Brethren, we have to think twice before we make this statement for our own lives, but Paul says it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Brethren, I have to think twice before making that statement. Prayerfully, we can all make that statement because we're following God's Word, following the love in God's Word and the commands. But brethren, could we say that? Imitate me, could you say to someone, do what I'm doing. Follow exactly like I'm following because I'm following Christ. You do like I'm doing. Brethren, that's a lot to say. Paul says it. And so then you and I are to do it. We're to imitate Paul. But he says that he is imitating Christ. So what was Christ doing? John 4, verse 34. John 4, 34 tells us what Christ was doing. Jesus said to them, brethren, it's one of my favorite verses. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Oh, brethren, it's his very food. It's the very thing that he loves, the very thing that sustains him, the very thing that keeps him alive. It's his food. Brethren, our food, we're going to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ, so we're going to imitate Christ. Brethren, our food is to do the will of God, the will of him who created us. We're to do the works of God in this life. Look a few pages over with me to John 9, verse 4. John 9, verse 4. Here Jesus says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. You know the rich man and Lazarus, brethren? And after his life was over, the rich man's life was over. Oh, don't you know? He wanted to come back and redo things, change things in his life. What he asked for was for maybe his Lazarus to go to his brothers, right? Well, brethren, you and I are in the same boat as that rich man, the same boat as Lazarus while they're on this earth. We have this amount of time to live for God, this amount of time to love the brethren, this amount of time to work for God, and then when it's over, it's over. There's no more time. That's it. It's just, this is it. This is one shot through. Not a second chance on this life. We get one shot through. So brethren, let us do the works that we can do right now while it is day, while we can do them, because the night is coming for all of us. And when it comes, we can't do any more work. We can't do any more for him. So brethren, this is our chance. This is our time. This is our time to be about our Father's business, to be about the works which he has given to us to do. God be thanked, brethren. God be thanked we're able to do it. Turn with me to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Have you ever known the teenagers? Teenagers, don't get offended because adults do the same thing. Have you ever known the teenagers to say something like, I don't know who I am or what I'm doing or what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, sometimes adults say those very same things, don't they? But teenagers say it more often. Did you know that God's Word answers that question for us? It surely does. God tells us exactly what business we're supposed to be about on this earth. He tells us exactly what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Ephesians 2:10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Brethren, we know why we're here. It's very simple. We're here to do the work of God. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to make a ton of money. We're not here to we're not here, brethren, for ourselves, are we? We're here to do the work of God. There's nothing wrong with making money and having a great amount of it. But brethren, when we begin to deny our families, deny the time with our families that they need in order to be a well-balanced family, in order to train our children the right way, so that we can work that second job, so that we can have the better car, better house, brethren, then we're we're erring. But otherwise, it's not wrong to have the money. Our purpose here in this life is to serve God, to do His works, which the Scripture says He prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. Like we said at the beginning, it's not just doing the work of God, but having the heart to do the work of God. There's a dear brother of mine who I think of at a congregation that I used to preach for, and he and I never had a false word between us. We never had a confrontation of any sort at all, really. And I do have one bad memory of this good brother, though, and that is that he would sit in the pew, and when the sermon began to go a little bit long, he'd start to do this. And brethren, if he didn't think I saw him, he might do this, you know, hold it up way up high, you know. And brethren, if it went long, he'd leave. Now, I'm ashamed to tell you that's the truth, though. If it went long, he would leave. And sometimes other people do something similar with their watches or something. Brethren, having the right heart in serving God means that we are going to want to worship Him. Not here because we feel like we have to be. Not here so that we can, I need to do this in order to go to heaven, so here I am. Brethren, here because we want to be. We want to worship God. Now, sometimes someone may have an appointment they have to get to on Sunday afternoon. But, brethren, think about it. How many appointments do people have on Sunday afternoon? Everything is closed, most everything. Very rarely do we have those kinds of appointments. Most of the time, when someone is looking at their watch in the worship service repeatedly, not just checking the time, but I mean clock watching, all right? Brethren, when they're doing it, what it's saying is, I don't want to be here longer than I have to be, and I want to go home, and I want this preacher to end on time so that I can get on with the other things in my life. Brethren, God forbid that we should ever think that way. God forbid that we should ever say that in our hearts or in our minds. Because being here is an honor, amen? We are the ones who are able to worship God, thinking of all that He has done for us, and you and I have the opportunity to give back just a little bit to Him in worship and honor to Him. Someone will say, well, all things need to be done decently and in order. Brethren, it is neither indecent nor out of order to worship, to spend more time in worship to God. It is our thankful opportunity to be able to do so. So that's what it means to have the heart right, so that we desire to serve the Lord. I had another good brother who on Sunday afternoon, he had a hobby that he always did. And I don't want to give you too much information. He's not from this area at all, but you might figure it out, so I'm not going to say too much. But brethren, on this Sunday afternoon, every day, every Sunday, he got together with his friends and did this hobby. Well, you know, sometimes it was a men's business meeting. And sometimes we would have responsibilities to take care of that could only be done on Sunday afternoon. Did you know he would never go and do that? I think maybe one time he stopped his hobby in order to serve the Lord on that Sunday afternoon. Brethren, God forbid. Let us be ready, willing, and able to do the work which God has given to us whenever He needs us to do it, wherever, however, the Lord calls on us, and may we be ready to serve Him and do His work. But brethren, when the heart is right, then we don't mind giving up the hobby. When the heart is right, we absolutely don't mind spending more time in worship to our God, in praise to Him, because God be thanked we're able to do it. Turn with me to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. The truth is that when it comes to the Christian life, yes, it requires an exemplary attitude. Yes, it requires doing the work of God. But brethren, God asks a lot from a Christian. Sometimes in the denominational world, people get the idea that he just wants us 3 days a week. And I fear that sometimes that denominational thinking may creep into the church at times. Brethren, He doesn't just want us 3 times a week. He wants us all the time, doesn't He? All of our heart and all of our mind. God wants a lot from you and from me. Galatians 2:20. Paul says it well. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says, I'm dead, and Christ is living through me. Paul's denying his own desires and doing what Christ desires. Romans 12, verse 1, says in a similar way. Romans 12, 1 You know, a sacrifice is usually something that dies, isn't it? In the Old Testament, the animal died, and even Christ died on the cross as a sacrifice. You and I are called to be sacrifices as well, but not dying ones. We are called to be living ones. Christ was dying and living, wasn't he? We are called to be living ones, and that's a lot harder than being one that just dies. It would be easier in life if we could just be put to a test and say, okay, I will choose Christ rather than the world, and then our life was over, and the test was over, and that was it. We won, okay? We succeeded in living our life for God, and that was it. But we are called to a harder purpose than that. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God wants us to live our lives for Him, denying ourselves when need be, and giving ourselves entirely to Him, to the work that He has created for us, giving our hearts and minds to Him. Jesus expects our all. Brethren, the Christian life requires an exemplary attitude, requires doing the work of God, and it requires our all. Jesus expects our whole heart. Brethren, don't be burdened by those thoughts. Remember that because we have been purchased by the blood of Christ, you and I are a separate people from the world, and we have been given a wonderful and tremendous responsibility. We have been given an honor to be able to be the ones who get to serve God in this life. You know, the people outside the world, they can't do it, brethren. They can't do the works of God. They're not lined up for them. They're not set for them. But you and I are given the opportunity to do whatever our hands find to do, to serve our Lord. The great thing about the Christian life is that when we evaluate ourselves, if we find something that is missing, there is always the opportunity to set it right and give our whole hearts right back to Him again. This morning, are you giving your life to God? Have you given your whole heart to Him? Are you seeking after the works which we are able to do for Him? Or maybe this morning you're interested in giving your life to Him in baptism for that first time. The Scriptures teach us that whoever will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of past sins, confess His name before men, that person can be baptized and have their sins washed away. Acts 22:16. Someone will say, well, is baptism necessary? Brethren, the Scriptures teach us it's when the sin is washed away. Now, if we've got our sin with us still, we can't go to heaven. We've got to have that washed away in baptism, and then we're saved with Him. Then we're ready and looking forward to Jesus' return. Are you looking forward to that return? If not, then why not? Recommit your heart to Him or put Him on in baptism whenever your need is. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?